Open it up to the book of Jeremiah for just a moment. I'll try not to be too long-winded tonight, but I'll admit the older I get, the more excited I get about Bible study and scripture. And this is a passage that got my attention a little earlier this week. In Jeremiah 18, the prophet is, of course, using the illustration of the potter and the clay, and we're familiar with that, and how God is the potter, and we're supposed to be the clay. But what got my attention was in verse 12, Jeremiah 18, verse 12, where in response to this context, they said, "There is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will every one do the imagination of his evil heart." And so there was this amazing rejection of God's amazing ability to take something like this world and create it out of nothing by his word. And we won't even humble ourselves and believe what he says. Then look at the next chapter as I was reading through the book of Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 19... sticking to the context as he continues to talk about the potter's vessel. And if you notice verse 5 here, this passage stood out in my mind as I was reading about and thinking about God. And it says here, "They have built also the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor spake it." And notice this last phrase here. "Neither came it into my mind." This never even was imagined in my mind. This never came from the thoughts. And perhaps this was not even ever going to be a revelation. Again, if you look back at Jeremiah 18, verse 12... he clearly says, "We will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart." Jeremiah 19:5, God says, "The things that don't even come to my mind, we'd better leave it alone." It's very similar to Deuteronomy 29:29, early on when Moses said 1,000 years earlier, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but that which our God has revealed, that's for us to be good stewards over." That's the principle of Deuteronomy 29:29. But here in Jeremiah 19:5, I just want you to notice this didn't even come to his mind. There are some things that just aren't even in God's mind. And so as we've been emphasizing for over a year and a half with all the rhetoric in the world since the last presidential election and the COVID, we'd better be careful who we listen to. Because some things don't even come to God's mind. And we need to make sure what we do in our life is according to what God's mind has revealed. We can get in trouble. And so I would encourage you to read through the book of Jeremiah. I'm not done yet, though. I'm not done yet. Look at Romans chapter 1 for just a moment. This passage then came to my mind as I was thinking about the vain imagination of man. And I want you to notice in Romans chapter 1, verse 21 in particular. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21, just again a little word study here, a little bit of emphasis upon this principle of the imagination of man versus the mind of God. Well, Paul tells us in the preceding verse, verse 20, that the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. And so we ought to make good implications. We ought to be able to make good judgments. And in this one passage in verse 20, he is giving no excuse to deny God. So the atheist is in trouble. And truly, Psalm 14:1 is an absolute passage. "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." That is a foolish thing to do. Right here in Romans 1:20, Paul says, The things of creation are clearly seen, and there's no excuse for any man to deny who God is. That's very interesting. Now, look at verse 21. He says this is the reason why, though, man goes off. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. They had the opportunity. When they had the opportunity to glorify God, they threw it away. They said, we'll do something different. Maybe another time, God, or maybe when it's a more convenient season, God. And so they had the time here in verse 21, and they glorified him not as God. They did not take advantage of the opportunity. They threw it away. And they were not thankful. This may be the core of the issue. They did not have a thankful or appreciative heart. Roy, maybe a year ago, I don't remember, you preached a lesson on how we are a throwaway society, and I've heard that before, and I appreciated you reminding us of that, because we are. I mean, tonight we were using paper plates and paper bowls at our house because it's a Wednesday night, it's a long day, it's a Wednesday night Bible study, and perhaps the easy thing to do is just to be stay home. But no, we're going to go and we're going to do what is right, because it's right. And every time you do what's right, you're always blessed. You're going to be glorified by God because you're glorifying Him. Not because you say, no, I got other things to do. But watch this passage even further. They weren't thankful and they became vain. Now this is a progression. Then they become vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened. Now I want to stop on this passage and watch this word imaginations for a moment. The word imaginations here is from the Greek word, which has to do with through logic, through the ideas of your own mind. And I'm not going to try to say that word. It's a compound word with about three or four different syllables, but it's got logos in it and dia. And dia has to do with going through something. Well, going through logic is the idea in a very root base, but it has to do with thought or inward reasoning, the reasoning of those who think themselves to be wise. That's interesting. The reasoning of those who think themselves to be wise. Do you remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 20, this same word appears. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, 20, using the same word, again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, and they are vain. They are vain. The vain imaginations, the same word there in Romans. Now, what's interesting on that, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise. Do you remember in the life of Christ? I'll give you some passages. Luke 5:22, when Jesus perceived their thoughts. That's the same word, vain imaginations. Jesus knew their thoughts. Luke 6:8, Jesus knew their thoughts. It's the same word. Through their own logic, He knew their thoughts. Luke 9:46, there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be the greatest. There arose a reasoning and Jesus knew their thoughts. He knew their vain imagination. The reasoning there was who was going to be the greatest. Men are always clamoring for who's the greatest. Old Muhammad Ali, where is he today? And there is a today. But nonetheless, so much for that, I'm the greatest. I'm sure he's found out who the greatest is. Luke 24:38, after the resurrection, why are your thoughts, why are you troubled, why do your thoughts arise in your hearts? There Jesus questions the disciples, why do your vain imaginations arise in your hearts? Again, all of this is the same word being used in Romans 1:21 with that progression where those that knew God and glorified Him not as God were not thankful, were not good stewards, did not care. Again, remember I've been saying this to my kids a lot lately. Do you care? Because if you care, guess what you'll do? You'll show me. I remember Mike, you talking about your son Mikey when he was at home and about taking out the trash. And you used to emphasize that. And that's the same principle. Do you care? Some of us are listening, Mike, whether you think we are or not. I'm listening, and you're helping me. All right, so listen up now. Now watch this, a few practical points, and these are short, but we'll be done. Look at how this applies then in the church, how we can get along with one another. We were talking about this in the Bible class here. Romans 14:1, him that is weak in the faith, receive, but not to doubtful disputations. That's the same word, vain imaginations. Don't receive someone based upon vain disputes or opinions. We could say that very fundamentally there. Vain logos, through your own imaginations. Surely we're not trying to create harmony and unity in the Lord's church based upon our own opinions. It'll never work. And that's what Paul's saying in Romans 14:1, so don't do that. Philippians 2:14, do all things, Philippians 2:14, without murmurings and disputings. The word disputings there in the King James is the same word, vain imaginations. Well, again, we're not going to ever get along if through our own logic we're trying to get you to submit unto me. Well, if you have an opinion, I might want to hear what you have to say, but you know what opinions are, right? And how many there are? Everybody's got one. Now, for the life of me, I cannot figure out who decided the color of this carpet was a good idea. But that's my opinion. And has it stopped me from attending services here? But do you know that back in Malvern, Arkansas, I had someone that told me that she quit coming to church one time because she didn't like the way I combed my hair? You think I'm joking? I thought she was joking. Vain murmurings and disputings. And then 1 Timothy 2:8, men, lifting up holy hands in prayer without wrath and doubting, vain imaginations. The word doubting there is the same word. I've often studied that, and I've never really put it together like this tonight, but that's the idea. When we pray, we don't need to get up here with vain imaginations. Lift up holy hands and have a clear, not a double-minded. The idea might be, don't be double-minded. When you pray, be very clear in your thoughts. Be very clear, not vain or through your own imaginations or vain imaginations. Pray to God. And then finally, James 2:4, we were talking about unity and needing one another in the Bible class, and I found this interesting, Mike, as again how this all came together. But look at James 2 verse 4 again. Are ye not then partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts? Right there, that evil thoughts is the word vain imaginations, the same word used in Romans 1:21. And what was wrong with the recipients of the epistle of James, his general epistle of wisdom? Well, right there is part of the problem. They were full of vain imaginations. They were judging one another based upon not truth, but based upon their own petty judgments. Well, I don't like the way they look. I don't like that they don't have money. They're poor. They smell bad. Well, if that's all the case, what are you going to do to try to be benevolent to them or try to help them learn how to take a bath and learn how to, I mean, what are we going to do to help people? That's being godly. That's learning to love one another and doing what the Bible teaches, not sitting around pointing fingers at everybody and judging people unrighteously. So we don't do that. I'm not suggesting we do. I just thought that was very interesting. And back to Jeremiah 19:5, when Jeremiah tells us why the people of God got in trouble, in that passage there, this didn't even come to my mind. Think about the churches and the religions of the world that are doing things because it feels good to them. Well, what if it doesn't feel good to me? I've often wondered when someone got up with their banjo and played a religious song, if someone sat out there and said, I don't like that old gourd instrument. I wish they'd give us a tambourine or something. I like the tambourine better. And one guy I worked with one time years ago said, yeah, we're going to start our new Baptist church because these old-timers like to do it their own way. And I said, well, what's the problem? He said, this is what he said. He said, well, they don't want to add anything. They just want to keep the piano. And I said, oh, really? He said, yeah, we've got the piano. They don't want to change. They don't want to change. I said, really, they don't want to change. That does sound kind of old fuddy-duddy. I was listening to him, very sincere, genuine. He said, yeah, we want to kind of add to that. We want a guitar. We want some drums. We want to add, because we know it'll help the young people. It'll really bring them in. It'll rock us. And I looked at him and I said, yeah, you're probably right, because if you can have a piano, why not just go the distance and get a DJ mix master and get up there and, you know, cater to every person that likes every genre of music. Yeah, that's probably a pretty good idea. We may have that on one Sunday. We'll have rapping for Jesus. And then the next Sunday, we'll have the boot stompers, you know, and the square dancers. And then the next Sunday, and then it turns into everything but cowboy and Indian church. And none of that's ever come to the mind of God. And we wonder what's wrong with our country? Systemic racism? Nah, that's not our problem. Our problem is we don't know the mind of God. And we make up all kinds of things that He hasn't made up. And we'll never get along on that. But we will get along on His truth if we do what He says. Do exactly what He says in His book. So again, Jeremiah 19:5. It didn't come to his mind. And he says, and that was a pretty startling statement to me. So maybe that'll kind of get your attention and help you think about why we do what we do here. We can do it with enthusiasm. And we should. We should do it with great synergy. Synergeo is in the Bible. The word synergy is in the Bible. Togetherness, working together with great passion and love. We should be that way. We're not calling people to be dull and idle and baseless and boring. This is not boring. This is full of energy. Energeo is in the Bible. And it comes through the gospel. And when you let the gospel resonate in your heart, I do have to wonder why some people don't smile more. I do have to wonder why people don't talk more and why they don't embrace more. I do have to wonder why we're not more. But I have to keep staying with my Bible and keep preaching it to maybe see that we do become more. But becoming more doesn't mean wrong. It becomes being right. Not calling us to be wrong. So we should be a family. So maybe the class tonight and the devotional will encourage us. Let's not do things that God never thought of. Let's only do what He thought of. And so, I guess if you need a holy kiss, Chad, I'll give you one. I love you, brother. If you're not a member of the Lord's body, you haven't obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, the greatest thing you'll ever do is repent of your sins. Make up your mind to be right with God. Confess Christ before men publicly and be immersed in water because of your faith. To arise to walk in a newness of life, immersed in water for the remission of your sins, baptized. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, then we're here to encourage you to do that, to know exactly what you can do to be saved. If you're here and you are a member of the body of Christ and you need the prayers of the congregation, you need us to embrace you, then that's what we're here to do, to help you, to pray with you. And I've never been a part of a congregation that's not more willing to do that. And so I'm very thankful to be here myself and be a part of that. So if we can help you in any way, Brother Jerry's going to lead us in an invitation song. As together we stand and we sing, won't you come?